Hello, listeners, and welcome to Fighting Failure, the podcast where we discuss solutions to the climate crisis. Today, we're talking about paper waste. I'm your host for this episode, Oscar Archibald.
And I'm your co-host, Hisham Kanan.
Let's start with the problems about paper and paper waste in general. I guess the biggest problem has got to be deforestation. In fact, 42% of the global wood harvest is used to make paper. This is less of a problem in Europe, where there's a lot of sustainably managed forests, there's a lot of plantations and stuff, but in developing countries and in equatorial countries especially, where there's rainforests, there's a massive problem of illegal logging, and a lot of this wood is then sent to make paper. 42% of the global wood harvest is used to make paper. And so you could imagine that we've got a lot of illegal deforestation, which is destroying rainforests, destroying biodiversity, causing carbon emissions, which is obviously not good. And that all to make paper, which we arguably don't need perhaps as much as we think we do. Paper, this might surprise some people, but paper is very energy intensive to produce. In fact, according to a website I found, which is theworldcounts.com, paper actually uses twice as much energy to produce as plastic. Obviously, paper is still better than plastic because that can be recycled. And when you recycle it, it uses much less energy. And so overall, paper is definitely better, as well as being disposed of much more easily.
In Malawi, actually, where Oscar and I met, up on the lake, or maybe down on the lake, it might be a little bit south of where we stay, but somewhere on the lake, there's this sort of like paper mill that has, or paper plant that was never actually put into use because it was just like totally unfeasible electricity-wise, and also I think because of the amount of pollutants that would have been released into the lake water. I might be wrong here. I mean, you can just see it's really hard to establish, and it's a very energy-intensive process.
Yeah, it's very energy-intensive. So in preparation for this video, I watched a lot of videos explaining how paper recycling works. And essentially what happens is that all the stuff gets pulped up. And to do this, you require a massive amount of water to mix up in the paper. And obviously none of this water actually ends up in the final product. But once it's used, unless you have a very complicated water reuse system, it's just going to be thrown away. There's a lot of chemicals involved. There's ink that's getting taken off the surface of the paper using a chemical solution in order to get the ink to rise off in these bubbles when it's then and it's piped off so that the paper is clean. Then you need to bleach the paper so it turns white again. Some paper processes use chlorine as well. So you could imagine that there would be a lot of pollution. There's a lot of water use. And obviously, when I have my final bit of paper, it's not going to have much water in it. And when I put paper in the cycle, it doesn't have much water in it either. So there's just a lot of water being used. In fact, 10 liters of water is required to make an A4 sheet of paper. So it varies slightly between different paper mills and processes, but that's a pretty massive amount just for a single sheet of paper. In the grand scale of things, you know, we use so little water in our homes, in our taps, in our showers, compared to the stuff that we consume, like paper, like food being grown requires water and irrigation, especially animal products, because of that inefficiency of the middleman means that you need a lot more water as well.
And also a lot of highly water intensive crop sources such as almonds.
Yeah, almonds. Almonds in California require massive amounts of water because they're being just grown in the wrong part of the world.
Yeah, I mean that's a really illogical decision on behalf.
Yes. It's really strange. Why is California's Central Valley like the most productive region culturally in the world?
But that's a whole other problem that I think we might have gone into in urban expansion. I mean,
we have managed.
This is a tangent
already. It's only like 5 minutes into the episode.
So many problems stem from like people just building and investing in to doing stuff in the wrong areas, and then complaining when it doesn't work, and then having to use tons of money and resources, and it's just like. Come on.
Exactly.
Like,
you've got to work with nature, not against it.
It just takes a little bit of logical planning. But anyway, tangent, sorry.
So I'm not sure what most people think about paper recycling, but paper can't be recycled infinitely. If you think about how paper is made, it's made from wood and specifically these wood fibers, which are nice and long, then you can pulp them into paper and press it on a roller with heat and you get this lovely sheet of paper. And each time the paper is recycled, it's pulped again. And that means that the fibers in the paper get shorter every time, meaning at some point it's just going to fall apart. You're not going to have a very good piece of paper. So if you think about photocopier paper, the kind of stuff you're printing, it can be recycled into the same product, the same high-quality printer paper, about 5 to 7 times, it depends, after which so the fibers are just too short, you can't make high-quality paper anymore. After then, however, you can still recycle it again, but this time you won't be making normal paper, you'll be making things like cardboard, brown paper, these egg boxes, tissues, all these sorts of things that you know have a sort of more fibrous feel, and they rip apart more easily than printer paper, and they're not as glossy, they're not as thin, but they still work for their own applications. So in the life cycle of a piece of paper, although initially there's a lot of energy input to create it from the tree, after that you get seven times as a piece of photocopier paper, then it becomes, cardboard, then it becomes a tissue, and then, tissues we generally don't recycle. And so that's the sort of life cycle you could imagine. In terms of how paper is not infinitely recyclable, a way to get a sense for this yourself is to just try recycling paper. So I think we did this once at BMIS in Malawi in an art class in primary school. Or maybe this was an art club after school. I can't remember. It was with an art teacher. And we got...
Well, we have done it, yeah.
Yeah,
we also did it in primary, I believe, yeah.
Yeah, I remember doing it in primary school specifically because it was with the primary school art teacher. But we got like tons of... Not literally tons, but we got lots of paper. And then we just like wet it and put it in a blender, like just a kitchen blender, but like this paper, and it had like ink on it and everything. It was colored paper or whatnot. Put it in the blender and it goes and pulped it up like they would do in a paper mill. They pop up the paper and then you get this pulp and we would spread it out.
With obviously a lot of water and
like. Yeah, exactly. Water use. We spread the paper out on this wire thing, tried to like make it nice and thin. Yeah, the paper mush, the paper pulp on this wire mesh basically. Put the mush on the mesh, and we had to wait ages to let it dry. And finally it was dry, but it was this like really thick, really bumpy, tears really easily. You couldn't really write on it. And so you could tell that the paper had been degraded in quality. Whereas if we had, say, in design and technology, tried to recycle an aluminium can, we would have found it a lot easier because aluminium can be recycled indefinitely because you would just melt down the can. There's probably a blowtorch in DT department in design, and we'd be able to melt it down and reform it. Just because we don't have the equipment, we won't be able to reform it properly, but the quality of the product wouldn't be that different. Whereas with paper, obviously we didn't have the technology to get the inks off, but you can see for yourself how it doesn't recycle perfectly. In a proper paper mill, they have a more advanced pulping, they have these rollers to get it perfect consistency, but you can, basically it's just a way to get a feel for what I mean when I say it can't be recycled infinitely. However, that said, ironically, another problem with paper waste might be that people think it's a bigger problem than it is. And the reason this is a problem is because, especially if you're in Europe or America, your paper is probably mostly going to come from sustainably managed forests, FSC certified or recycled paper, because paper is economical to recycle. And so if people focus so much on using every last scrap of paper and they focus a lot of their mental energy on conserving paper and making sure it's all recycled and all of this stuff, they might have spend less time thinking about the more important climate issues like defunding the fossil fuel industry, stopping plastic production as opposed to paper production. And we don't want to waste our energy on what is really a very small part of the larger climate crisis.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think often people get caught up in this, like in these smaller issues without seeing the bigger picture and finding out what actually is important to tackle in the present. And although, we're doing this paper episode and there are a lot of problems with paper production in a lot of places, it's not, the number one problem. It should not be number one priority. Of course there's things that you can do, which is the whole point of this episode, and we'll get to that in the solutions, to reduce your paper consumption and make your paper consumption more sustainable. However, it's not, the biggest problem. And especially in a lot of places now, with paper being, with the pulp coming from already established, pre-established tree, plantations, we're not, losing as much in specific to developed countries and in some rare cases, developing countries. We're not losing as much forest area to paper production per year as you were you know, a couple decades ago. So it's not the hugest problem that we need to be stressing on right now, even though, you know, it is something that, we should do something about in the long run.
Yeah, you summed it up really well there. Another idea that floats around a lot is, you know, what if we just buy everyone an iPad and then we can have like no paper in the whole school? And if you think about the resources that go in an iPad compared to my school where the paper is all 100% recycled, all the books are made of recycled paper, it's all eco-certified, then you can imagine that actually getting all those rare earths to make the, you know, the iPad and all the elements that go into that could actually be a lot more taxing. Exactly, the production process, it's got to be shipped from China, and all of that, and the electricity, you know, that's not the biggest part, the electricity to charge it. But you could imagine all these things could actually make it worse than just writing with a pen and paper. Obviously, there are legitimate reasons to use an iPad. For example, people with learning disabilities, or even if a school just wants to provide more advanced education. But I'd say environmentally, that's not really a very sound argument.
And at some point as well, you know, your iPad, you know, starts to...
Yeah, we'll talk about this in a future episode. I want to talk about planned obsolescence. Apple is a culprit of this. Other companies are to a greater extent even. Anyway, the last problem is toilet paper, because toilet paper can't be recycled because it goes in the sewage bin, which is why toilet paper of all things is important to make sure it's sourced sustainably, because it doesn't get that second lease of life and that third lease and seventh lease of life through the recycling process. And so we have used a company called Who Gives a Crap, which is you can get ones made of bamboo or ones made of 100% recycled toilet paper. The good thing about toilet paper as well is that it doesn't need to be as firm as printer paper, and therefore it can use shorter fibers that have been recycled many, many times as well. So that's one thing to look out for as well. Yeah,
it increases like the lifespan of a piece of paper pretty much.
Because ideally, if you're having recycled toilet paper, that is the last bit that the paper has been on in its life.
That's the final tier.
It's the final tier, so you want it to have done as much beforehand as possible, because toilet paper can cope with being short fibers. Yeah.
All right. I think.
Any other problems?
I don't think so. I think we're ready for the solutions.
Okay. Hit the mandolin or the guitar, whichever one you have.
All right. I'll grab that.
You're listening to Fighting Failure. This is episode 34, all about paper waste. And why it might not be such a big problem as we might think.
Sorry, I messed it up at the end, so you feel free to cut that part out.
So, solutions. Luckily, the biggest solution to paper waste is recycling, which is economically viable. I mentioned this before. Unlike plastic recycling is almost never economically viable. It's just way, way cheaper to produce plastic from scratch using oil rather than to get old plastics, sort them, and try and reshape them. It's not really very possible. Paper, meanwhile, it saves massively on energy. It's easy to collect and sort, which means that most paper is recycled. Almost 80% of paper in the UK is recycled. And the issue is, of course, that I don't know how much higher we can push that. I think knowledge about recycling paper is pretty high. I don't think many people throw away paper in the general waste bin. The thing is, right, is that not all paper can be recycled. And specifically stuff like tissues and toilet paper, I mentioned before, if stuff has got grease stains on it, so if you've got like a pizza box, that probably can't be recycled because of the grease on it. Not all paper can be recycled ultimately. So that's why obviously we use cardboard rather than printer paper for food, because cardboard is a shorter fiber product. It's going to be near the end of its lifespan as paper. And that's something to think about as well.
Also, it holds up better when it's in that multi-layer.
Paper recycling uses 70% less energy than virgin paper and produces less air pollution as well. Obviously, it doesn't have to use any trees. So we would suggest trying to buy recycled paper where it matters. So what I mean by this is, for example, like rather than like, you know, every 2 years you buy a stack of A4 from the shops for your printer at home. What I mean is that, you know, where you work or where you go to school, if you ask the admin team at your school or workplace or the people who manage the printer, if they can source recyclable paper, because it's generally quite cheap these days, like 100% recycled paper for the printer, then you could imagine like my school goes through like so much paper. It's incredible, like tons and tons of it, probably literally tons of paper. And so that matters a lot more when your corporate environment is buying tons of of paper that it's recycled than the stack of paper that you buy every 2 years for your house.
I mean, even though, you know, it's only a fraction of all paper now that's made off, you know, non-plantation wood sources and is actually a cause of mass deforestation, it's still, you know, important to reduce that number further, because we're already deforesting for enough reasons. I mean, we don't need one more reason, of course. Reducing that in any way is the best thing to do. And so, of course, you know, buying recycled paper when possible and where it matters is a very large solution in this sort of scheme of paper waste.
Even if it's coming from a sustainable plantation, it's still recycling uses 70% less energy than virgin paper, which means that obviously you're saving if the energy is produced by fossil fuels and all that sort of thing, as well as the chemicals used in the production of paper from wood. One other thing, possible solution, this might not work for everyone, but lower quality papers tend to use less wood because they can use like a wider range of the stuff you can get from the wood. For example, it takes twice as many trees to make a ton of printing paper compared to newspaper, you know, newspapers, that sort of low quality, flimsy stuff. So not everyone, it might not work practically for everyone to use low quality paper, but generally lower quality papers will be better because they're also likely to be further down the recycling, timeline. Anyway, next solution is to check for the FSC, Forestry Stewardship Council, I think it stands for, logo. It's on basically everything these days, but it's worth checking for it because that's a certification that it's going to be coming from a sustainably managed forest. So the broader solution to deforestation is, of course, sustainably managed forests everywhere. Ultimately, we can't recycle all paper forever, and that's okay because paper can be disposed of without causing too much damage to the environment because it is made of wood. It can be returned to the ground. If it's shredded, it's, you know, more surface area for decomposers. It can be composted responsibly, and that's all going to work out. Paper is very much a renewable resource because we can renewably produce more trees. And in fact, no, if paper just like stays in an archive somewhere, it is acting as a store of carbon because you've cut down the tree, but then you're storing the carbon from that tree in your cupboard or whatever. And then that where that tree was, there's a new tree being planted, which is sequestering more carbon. This is not how we're going to solve the climate crisis. We're not going to solve it by printing out everything and archiving stuff. That's not a good idea. But you get what I mean in terms of the sustainability generally of paper compared to things like plastic.
All right. Next solution is when recycling yourself.
So this is where we get to like the personal actions, stuff you can do yourself rather than the stuff that needs to happen on a wider scale. And luckily with this topic, there's a lot.
Yeah. So, I mean, what can you do? So do not recycle paper with food stains or other non-recyclable elements. For example, takeaway boxes and cartons, because these generally cannot be recycled. And in some places, if you put something in the recycling bin that should not be in the recycling bin, they consider the whole recycling bin, your whole bunch of recycling, once it's dropped off, to be like contaminated. Then they won't recycle anything in that box. And then you end up just causing a whole bunch more waste. It's easier just to make it easier for them and to reduce that cause of waste. So check out with your council for specific instructions. I mean, we know in Vermont, you know, we do separate our recycling from our trash. But, you know, if there was some slight mix-up, it would not be, you know, an end-of-the-world crisis, because in Vermont they do separate their recycling. You know, I don't know if it's by hand, but it's done, you know, they have a whole system for it. So they'll separate your trash anyway. So, I mean, like, Vermont sort of does seem to be a big step ahead in terms of recycling and composting, as I like to point out. And so next, beware that tissue paper, laminated paper, waxed paper, and plastic-coated paper all cannot be recycled. Again, just saving your council the trouble of putting it in the recycling bin. And also just avoid laminating, of course, and plastic-coated paper, because for obvious reasons, it's just putting more plastic into the world and simultaneously reducing the possibility to reuse and recycle our paper waste. Of course, print on both sides unless you're using the other side for scrap paper or drawings, or, you know, if it's a very specific case where you can't Or if it's a very specific case where you cannot print on both sides, like, who knows, if you're printing, like, a lead sheet for music or something and you don't have to flip the page. But, of course, you know, it's a small thing. You could probably just get on with it and flip the page and see the flip side. So, of course, just trying to print on both sides. And finally, not shredding paper or cutting it up into small bits, as this makes it incredibly harder to recycle. And obviously, if it's, you know, ultra sensitive, then shred it. But again, you know, just checking with your counsel. Sometimes checking with your counsel can be done online. Sometimes it's an in-person thing. Often there's like a website or something. Yeah, often there's a website, some sort of online source that your government, local government puts out. But just check to make sure, you know, if it's to check if it's possible or not. Because sometimes shredded paper is not accepted into recycling, and sometimes councils will allow shredded paper into garden waste. And so, you know, it depends on the case and does require some action to find out how that system sort of works.
We talked earlier about how the fibers get reduced when you cut when you're recycling paper. It's the same thing when you shred it. It makes the fibers too small for them to be able to effectively recycle the paper. And so that's really important to note. You have to check, because some councils will just straight up not accept recycled paper. Not recycled, shredded paper, because it's too small to recycle. However, because it is organic, essentially, some councils will allow you to put it in your garden waste bin if you have a garden waste bin with the soil and stuff, because it will compost. And so just this is the thing that's going to vary council to council and country to country. So you just have to check for yourself. But we're something to keep in mind and research, so that you don't make a mistake and contaminate your recycling bin.
And I'd also just like to point out that, I mean, even though we're sort of posing paper as this sort of limited issue in this episode, I think paper can also be a solution, us. And I think because, you know, when we find paper alternatives to plastic, plastic being much more unsustainable for reasons mentioned in our plastic recycling episode, you know, these paper solutions and paper alternatives to plastic are actually much more efficient. So don't shy away from paper alternatives to plastic after this episode. I mean, they're still going to be a lot more sustainable than any of the plastic alternatives. And that is a big step forward, you know, for the environment if we're making that shift from plastic to paper.
And so the last set of personal actions would be fold your toilet paper. Because if you fold your toilet paper once, then you're like halving the amount you use, because obviously toilet paper never gets recycled. We talked earlier about getting recycled toilet paper as well. And prefer paper to plastic. I think Hisha mentioned this, didn't he? Prefer reusable paper to paper. It's much better to use...
But if you fold your toilet paper, aren't you using more? I mean, I guess the idea is don't take two, you know, of those blocks of toilet paper and fold them in half to make one block, when you'd be using one block alternatively. Like, take one block and fold it into half, and then...
You take two and you fold it so that it's like two ply, and then you wipe, and then you fold that again, putting obviously the dirt on the inside of the fold, and then you do it a second time, right?
That makes sense. I'm understanding. All right, cool.
Yeah, good to clear that up. But obviously, go back to what I was talking about. It's better that if you use ceramic for your like plates than to use a paper plate every night. I think that's fairly obvious. Prefer paper to plastic, but prefer reusable to paper. With that, we will see you next time. Thank you for listening.
Yeah.
This has been Fighting Failure, and see you in 2 weeks. Goodbye.
Take care.